Welcome to episode 43 of a Thai Football Podcast with me, Dale Farrington.
And me, Rob Bernard. I'm back.
It's great to have you back, Rob. I've really missed you. It's tough going when you're doing this on your own and nobody to bounce off. So welcome back.
Thanks a lot. And I'm not just saying it for the sake of it, but you've done a fantastic job, mate.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Your travels, what? Obviously you've been covering a lot of it during the podcast, but what have you been up to? Why have you been away for so long?
We went down to Bangkok originally to sort my visa out, which was a farce on its own. I could do a full show on that on its own, Dale, but probably best not to. Then we went up to Chiang Mai, flew to Chiang Mai, went to Pai, then we had the cricket, then went back down to Bangkok. And then arrived in Sisaket Monday night to sort my visa out up here, which we've managed to do. Everything's good. Obviously, Songkran up here, and it's a mixture between bedlam and a mausoleum at times, depending what time they pass out.
Sounds about right for Songkran. I do enjoy Songkran. I fall into that camp very much so, and I'm missing it. I'm seeing all the photographs and all the videos on social media, and it's left me with this huge hole. So I know it's not to everybody's taste, and I know a lot of people flee the country when it's on, but it is something I enjoy. In fact, I wish it could be Songkran every day, Rob.
They're just setting up the table on the garden now as I look for dinner, and the whiskey's coming back out, so some have re-emerged from the slumber. So if there's any interruptions, I do apologise.
No, that's absolutely fine. I wouldn't mind that in the slightest. Anyway, we are here ostensibly to talk about Thai football, so we've got quite a lot to cover this week, and we might as well start off with the FA Cup quarterfinals that were played during the week. As much as I don't want to talk about it, we have to mention Chonburi's defeat up at Udon United, and you did a short report. You didn't go to the game, but you were on your hammock watching on the TV, so we'll just run through your quick report of the match, and then we'll have a chat about it afterwards.
Thai Football Podcast Match Reports.
Yes, good afternoon, Dale. And here I am in my outdoor cellar in the garden in Sisaket. What's happened? The nearest correspondent, I reckon. I'll be covering this afternoon's game in the last eight of the Chang FA Cup. The game I'm going to feature is a 3:30 kickoff, which I can only presume will be the most sweltering of conditions between Udon United and Chonburi. We're nearly in the 20th minute, Dale, and Chonburi close to taking the lead. Amadou, with a shot too fierce for the keeper Natapon, he spilled it but then clawed it back off the line. It's a usual sort of match day here in Udon. Pitch is ropey to say the least. It's hot, there's nobody there. And to be honest, Chonburi are the better side by far, as you would expect. Hats off, by the way, to the Sharks fans. About 20 of them over on the far side, trying to grab shelter under a canvas, under a tree, under anything they can get. It must be steaming hot. Their dedication has to be admired, but what a poor show with nobody there that they can't find some shade for them on the other side. 0-0, around 20 minutes gone. So, half-time in Udon, Dale, and to be quite honest, it's not one that will live in the memory for long. I think the highlight of the first half was watching my wife prune the garden, if I'm honest. 0-0, sweltering hot day, to be fair to the players, on a bumpy pitch. It's a shame that they couldn't play this game in the evening. The stadium formerly hosted T2 football, and there's the other SAT stadium not far out of town, also with excellent facilities, but who knows the minds of Thai club owners. 0-0 half-time. 10 minutes into the second half, Dale, not much going on, although Udon, it has been noticeable, looked dangerous at the back post with deep crosses. About time the Chonburi coach took heed. But his side, still the better of the two football teams, but not a lot in it, really. It is not good to watch. But I'm going to stick with it, because I'm stubborn. God blimey, I don't believe it. We've got a goal, Dale, and it's not one you'd want to know about. A fast break down the right, the winger outpaced the fullback. He's crossed it hard and low, and Romario's met it in the middle and put it in the corner with aplomb. 1-0 to the hosts. Well, yes, Chonburi trying to get back into this game. Panapong just denied by a superb save by Patapong in the Udon goal. about 20 minutes to go, including stoppage time. But I tell you what, I think we're in for a shock here. Chumbry pushing, but Hood on defending desperately. Let's see how their composure is as we get towards the end. Still 1-0 to the hosts. While the visitors getting closer, header from Lira hit the outside of the post with the keeper motionless. A couple of inches the other side would be all level. Still 1-0 to Udon United. Oh Dale, I've been lining that one up for you all afternoon, mate. A corner came in, the big Ivorian Rose. He's been the best player for Chumbry going forward. He's headed home and saved their blushes a couple of minutes from time. 7 minutes to be added on, I think. 1-1. Well, Dale, how it is still 1-1, I do not know. The homekeeper has pulled off a tremendous double save from Yotsukon and then Lira from the follow-up. Amazing. And then a header from the resulting corner from point-blank range goes over the bar. So it's still 1-1. We're deep into stoppage time. It might have been heartbreak for Udon, but to be fair on the balance of play, Chumbry don't deserve to go out. Well, we're going to extra time, Dale. Goals from Romario and then an equaliser from Abadou mean that the teams are level after 90 minutes. Just what they need in this seat, another 30 to try and decide the winner in this cup quarter-final tie. 1-1. Well, it really is all Chumbry here in extra time. Lira just had a great opportunity, but he's headed it straight at the keeper, either side of him, a certain goal. Hit the keeper in the midriff, he's having a tremendous game to be fair. But Lira really should have scored. Still 1-1, in the 10th minute of extra time. Well, in the second period of extra time, this game's levelled out. A fine save from the Chumbry keeper and captain keeps out an effort from the red-headed Udon sub. We're 115 minutes in, it's one each. This could go either way and quite possibly all the way to penalties. And that is that. 2 hours I'll never get back in my life. But 1-1, the players have given everything. It was quite level near the end. Lira with the last effort on goal, header that went wide. So we're going to penalty kicks. This could go either way. So that's the end of that, and we've had a giant cleaning this up tonight. Udon United go through, they won 5-3 on penalties. Chumbry's middle taker missed his. Udon put all theirs away. Not a great game, but a fantastic victory for the T3 side. But whoever gets them in the semi-finals must fancy their chances. Poor performance from Chumbry, they didn't capitalise when they were on top. It'll be a bitter blow for the coach and the squad as they fight against relegation. So 1-1 after extra time, 5-3 to Udon United against Chumbry on penalties. Udon United progress to the semi-finals of the FA Cup. Yeah, Dale, all I can say is the things I do for you on this podcast. That was shocking, mate.
It sounds it. I was at work, so I couldn't watch it. I was trying to follow it on the score update, and right up until we equalised, you know, I was fearing the worst. And then I thought once we'd got level, I was expecting us to go on and win it, but obviously it wasn't to be. The kickoff time, what was it, 3:30 on a Wednesday afternoon in the blazing hot sun, and it has been hot. I think it's one of the hottest year on records, isn't it, in Thailand.
I felt sorry for the away fans. I mean, they were having to make portable shelters, which is something we'll come on to later, the treatment of away fans. I just find it deplorable in a country that's so welcoming.
Yeah, it didn't look great. I mean, Tim was there. He's not really said much about the away end. In fact, he's not really said much about the match. I think he just wants to forget it. But it wasn't the only shock. And the semi-final lineup looks quite strange, doesn't it? The four teams that are left in the tournament.
I had no skin in the game either way, but I felt pick-sick for Lampoon to concede in stoppage time the way they did. It was a great goal at Tamasat, but wouldn't it be nice to have Lampoon as the other semi-finalists and have teams with a real chance of glory for the first time?
I think it was Phil raised this on Twitter, you know. Is the semi-final lineup an indication of how seriously or not, as the case may be, that the top flight clubs take this competition? You've got two from the third division, one from the second, and I mean, they must be red hot favourites now, Bangkok United from the top division.
You'd say so, wouldn't you? But I saw on Twitter somebody saying, "Why, if Bangkok United don't win it through, should fold the club." Well, the other clubs should hang their heads in shame. What a great opportunity they've all spent.
Yeah, that's certainly how I'm feeling from a Chonburi point of view. It was, a good opportunity to actually win something for once. I always remember Danny Baker when he used to do his radio shows, he said he hated giant killing. He absolutely hated it. And I think it's one of these things, isn't it? When it's nice in the early rounds, but when it gets to the semi-finals and you've got three teams from outside the top flight, is it still as appealing when that happens? Am I being
Well, I mean,
unfair?
it's appealing to me, but I'm very much, I admit I'm completely different to a lot of fans in Thailand. But to counter that, you couldn't have a stronger League Cup semi-final lineup, potentially.
I noticed Mung Tong United beat Konkan United, didn't they? In the only one, there was only one game played. It was brought forward. I don't know why. There must be something going on in Konkan during the scheduled dates, which I'll keep my eyes and ears open for. Back to the FA Cup, and also the venues have been announced this week for the semi-finals, and they are one of our favourite grounds, Ratbury Stadium, the Dragon Solar Park, and my home ground, Chonburi Stadium. Now, these choices have caused a bit of controversy as well, given the location of the four teams left in the semi-finals. So, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, they couldn't have got it much better, the Ratbury game, could they really? Kanchanaburi against Samut Sakhon. Brilliant choice. Chonburi, I've absolutely no idea. They throw a dart at the map or are the books it well in advance? I mean, is forward advance planning permitted in Thailand?
Well, they have used it before. I think, was it last season or the season before? So it's not the first time it's been used for a semi-final.
No, that's true, Dale, but bearing in mind the two teams in it, there's four stadiums within about 10 miles of Don Wang that would have all been more suitable. And now Don Wang's got regular flights.
Do you think it would make much difference, in all honesty, where they played them? Are you expecting crowds to turn up to watch these games? I mean, I'm
I
not being
think.
unfair on the sides that are in it. I'm just thinking, given what we've seen so far in the FA Cup, would it actually matter where they played it? Even if they played it at the home ground of one of the participants, would anybody turn up in numbers?
Well, I mean, if Udon can't get more than the regular 600, I think, against Chonburi, if they can't get more than that for an FA Cup quarter final, something's going seriously wrong up there. They won't reach 1,000, will they, either gate, if we're honest.
No, they'll be very lucky to get four figures, I think. But that could be true if they played. If I mean, Bangkok United, as we've talked about many times on this programme, don't pull in the big crowds. And these games are likely to be midweek. I've not seen the dates yet, but they're likely to be midweek. Does it matter where they play? If they're going to play it anywhere and put it on television, it's one of these things, isn't it, where obviously, again, growing up in England, when they used to select the semi-final venues, it was usually as close to being as equidistant to the two participating teams as possible. So, Villa Park, Old Trafford, Hillsborough, obviously, as we're talking this weekend, it's a sad reminder of what happened at that ground and why things have changed in England. But they'd always try and pick somewhere that was easy for the two sets of supporters to get to. I mean, in later years, it's been Wembley. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can remember when Chonburi first got to the FA Cup semi-final after the tournament was reintroduced in 2009. The following season, when we won it, we had to go. It was an away game. It was us against Army, and they were played at the home venue of one of the teams. Now, is that something do you think that might be worth reintroducing?
I liked Clint's suggestion on Twitter, which is something that happens in the early rounds of the Pokal in Germany, and the lower ranked team has the home advantage.
Well, they do that in the League Cup here, don't they?
They do
That's a...
in the round, don't they? Yeah.
So yeah, maybe that's something worth considering. The new regime, as we often say, we've got to give them a chance. So maybe this could all change from now on, and we might see a complete overhaul of these competitions and how they select venues, etc., etc.
Yeah, I mean, it's not having a go at the current Thai affair, because I think the English FA are a disgrace playing the semi-finals at Wembley. I mean, it's still the greatest cup competition in the world for me, but I'm an old school boy, and they've ruined it in a way.
doing that. All for money.
Well, we'll see. We will cover the FA Cup semi-finals when they actually happen. And like I said, we've got the three remaining League Cup quarter-finals to come up as well.
Hello, I'm Steve Darby, ex-coach of Thailand, and you're listening to the new Thai Football Podcast. You may think some of this is fiction, but if you know your Thai football as these lads do, it isn't. It's real. But no one will ever believe you.
Now, one of your reports while you were away was at Tamasat, and you went to watch the second against third, Bangkok United against Port game, filed a report, which was very entertaining. But one of the things you did, I mean, you know, you admit in your more candid moments to being a Port fan, you didn't sit with the Port fans in that notorious away end, did you, at Tamasat? And I think this caused one or two ripples on social media as well.
It sure did. I got a bit of clog for it, but do you know what? I couldn't care a jot. Look, I've said it all along. It's about the old day, having a good day out. Now, I don't want to have a good day out and then not be able to watch a football game. Why go in that area when you get the worst views and you pay the most price? I mean, I can afford it. You know, I'm looking at my farang, but I just don't agree with the principle of paying far more for the worst view in the ground. And you were right. I noticed you interacted on Twitter with it. It does affect your perception of a stadium.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, I can remember going there when Police United used it as their home ground, and the away supporters used to be in the main stand, which is opposite where you were sitting. They'd have a corner in there, and the views were fantastic. And even when Bangkok United have used it, there's been a couple of occasions when I've felt the same as you, and I've just sat in that main stand, and you get a completely different perspective of everything. The sight lines on the pitch are fantastic, and it is a much better stadium. But it's funny, isn't it, how people's experiences are very different. I always enjoy going to Tamasat. I must admit, I don't have any problems getting there, getting away from it. I know where to buy beer now. Yeah, it's a ground I enjoy going to, and other people absolutely loathe and despise it and have refused and said they're never, ever going to go again.
Oh, look, it's one of those things, isn't it? If you want to go, go. I mean, I had a nightmare journey, but it was only first world problems, Dale. Nobody was hurt or anything. Just needed to take a bit more time. But, you know, once I'm there, I want the best view. And you saw from my video what a great view I had. And it gave me the chance to meet Matt Jenkins and, you know, move around. You know, it's maybe an age thing as well, mate. I used to go to games, and you often mention about the 70s and 80s in England. Some real dodgy away games when you attract like absolute and I'm past all that. I want to have fun now. And apart from anything else, one thing that my dad told me many years ago is to watch both teams. It's amazing how many one-eyed fans turn up. You know, you say, well, I was so-and-so for the opposition. Well, I don't know. And that's another advantage. When you've got the best views, you can see both teams properly. You're not just watching. Because you get... And I noticed some of the comments, oh, I'm passionate with it. Yeah, and have your photo taken and look like a super fan. Great. But don't complain if you get a bad view.
Yeah, some good points there. I particularly think the one about the 70s and 80s in England is very pertinent. It is something that often gets overlooked or forgotten. I mean, just how brutal it was going to football in those days. And like you say, especially as an away fan, you know, and then obviously the fences came in. And it was grim, wasn't it? You know, I used to go up and down the country, and, you know, some of the places I'd go to, you know, I've got some very, very mixed memories about, you know. I understand why people want to stand with their own fans. I completely get that. But again, it begs the question, why in a ground like Tamasat that is so vast and, you know, that with all the best will in the world, Bangkok United are never going to get anywhere close to filling it, even filling one of the stands, if we're being honest. Why can't they put the away fans at the side? This used to happen. Back in the early days, this used to happen. And I appreciate crowds weren't as big as they are now. But every single away game that I went to with Chonburi in the first couple of seasons in the TPL, as it was then, we were always given half the main stand. So we were undercover, we had seating, and it was a much better view of the game. Now, a lot of places, they could still do that. I mean, even at Chonburi on the far side, the swimming pool stand, they could give the away fans a section of that and move the home fans all along, because it never gets full. Well, there's one particular game that it does get full for, but for the rest of the season, there's plenty of room in there. Yeah, it's maybe something that, I don't know, this whole treatment of away fans, and it is only a relatively recent thing in Thailand, you know, charging more, giving them the worst view in the ground, all the things that we experienced 40, 50 years ago in England, and now the norm in Thailand. And it doesn't have to be like that. I think, you're right, it needs to be a bit more thought go into it, where they put the away fans and how much they charge them.
Definitely, I agree with all that. But it's down this daft conception here that they're trying to copy the European leagues and they see the ultras. It's completely different. None of the people who are making the decisions have ever been there. Instead of trying to copy Europe, how about being innovators here?
It's a great chance. I mean, hopefully some of the clubs will take the opportunity and do something about it. Although I'm not holding my breath. It would be nice to see. But you touched on it being a cultural thing there. Now, I believe there's something you want to say about frustrations with with the way things are run here.
Well, there's no point in getting frustrated, is there, really? I'll give you Songkran weekend that we're out currently having. I sat down with my wife on Thursday, right, what we're doing. The plans change four times within about 4 hours. And the same thing happens with organising anything here. And there's countless tales of Parangs who've been trying to change the world and get frustrated. The Thais are very resourceful people and they welcome it. They'll never upset anyone if they suddenly turn up. And that's how they run football, as far as I can see. And getting frustrated by it and expecting it to change and be the same as Europe, well, you might as well be talking to the birds.
I think that's it. We've just got to accept the way things are. I've made this point before. I think for a lot of people, I'm talking specifically about Thai football now, a lot of people base their judgments on when they started watching, you know, whether it be the size of crowds, whether it be the cost, whether it be things like this organisation. For me, I think things are much better now. They're probably better now than they ever have been. And I know that's a statement that will upset a few people and cause a few people to gnash teeth and fume and all the rest of it. But I firmly believe that. You know, when I think back to what it used to be like, there's no comparison. There is no comparison. You know, we were talking about a 3:30 Wednesday afternoon kickoff earlier in the show. Now, the first season, well, the season we won the league, 2007, the last round of fixtures, which thankfully weren't important because we'd won the league the week before, but the last round of fixtures was scheduled for, I think it was a Tuesday afternoon, at 4 o'clock kickoff on a Tuesday afternoon. So that's the top division in Thailand, final round of fixtures kicking off midweek at 4 o'clock. Now, if that happened now, imagine the outcry. So things like that have improved. And the only reason it happens now is because clubs don't have floodlights, or there may be some other exceptional reason. But I think overall, you know, you talk about planning, you talk about things changing. That has happened now. You know, people still get frustrated about the fixtures not being announced, but it's much better than it was. It really is. It's, you know, if I could buy the time machine, I'd take everybody back to 2006, which is when Chonburi first got in the top flight, or even before that. You know, even the gap between 1997, when I first started following Thai football, in 2006. Things in 2006 were better than they were in 1997, without a doubt. And now, you know, nearly 20 years later, I think we're probably at a stage now where Thai football is this is the best it's ever been in terms of organisation, in terms of media coverage, in terms of fan participation, in terms of information being easily available, without a doubt.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with all that. And it'll gradually improve. But you've got to remember the Western leagues that they're trying to emulate have been going for 150 years. And I know I'm different, Dale, and I accept that. But I don't get too emotionally involved because there's a lot of disappointment. You know what I mean? Sometimes I've come home on a Monday, having had a really good day out, you know, full package, meeting some friends, having a nice meal, going to the match, a few beers afterwards, coming home, watching a bit of English telly when I get back. And then I'll put on Twitter on Monday morning, I think I've been abducted by aliens. You know, when you read some of the criticism of Thai football, I think it's smashing, mate, I do.
I agree. I mean, you appreciate everybody has different viewpoints, and that's fine. I mean, that's what this podcast is all about. You know, we've had so many people come on with their opinions, and that's great. And we encourage that. But I'm pretty much in line with you, Rob. Apart from that, your neutral stance does fascinate me. How you can be so neutral. I've only ever met one person before who he was a football fan. He didn't have a team at all, but he loved football and he could watch it purely on that level, just watching it for what it was. And that fascinated me at the time. And
I want Porto. I'd love Porto to win the league in my lifetime. And if I come out of the ground, they've lost. I'm a bit, oh, well, never mind. You know, within 5 minutes, I've got a beer in my hand. It's not going to change my life. You know, I think perspective. Maybe it's because I was a Scarborough fan and I saw the old club die, you know, after 125 years of history and having to reform a club. And, you know, it's not that important at the end of the day, is it? It's just a form of entertainment. It's how I watch the cricket as well now, to be honest. Maybe an age thing, mate. Mellowed out having met somebody beautiful in Thailand and a different way of life. I don't know.
But one aspect of your football supporting life is T3. You've been following Cedar United very close to this season. They've been promoted, but we've got the playoffs coming up, haven't we, to decide the final place. So who's gone up so far and who's left in the running for promotion to the second division?
Well, I have to say that Phil had a prediction on his excellent blog, didn't he? And pretty much all of us have got it right. Cedar United and Bangkok FC are the champions. They'll play off in a championship game over two legs. And there was a bit of confusion, well, a bit of disagreement in the southern section between Patalung and Songkhla. As it happens, it's Patalung who've won through, and they're going to play over two legs with Marasarakam, who most of us guess correctly up here. And the winner of that, they'll take up the third spot in T2, subject to more teams not dropping out, by the way, in T2. The rumour mill is doing a hefty business.
It certainly is. And obviously, we had Russ on a couple of weeks ago, who's in the market to buy a T2 club. And it does seem as if we're at a stage now where we could lose quite a few at the end of this season. Samutprakarm City, to all intents and purposes, look like they're going to go out of business, don't they? And there are one or two others that look like they could go with them. Now, given the way these clubs are financed and given the low crowds they get, is it really a surprise?
I have to hark back to the cultural thing that something's come up this weekend. Myself and my wife love a restaurant in town, local restaurants, and one of the staff was here for the party yesterday, and the restaurant's closed down for good. And, you know, I said, oh, I'm really sorry and everything. She just shrugged her shoulders. And football clubs are given the same sort of short thrift, really, by business people here. I think the fans get more upset, and probably the farangs who are not used to it happening, you know what I mean? It's an occupational hazard here of businesses, including football clubs shutting down and a new one starting up again.
Yeah, it's very much the way, isn't it? And like you said, I think people are a little bit more resilient and it doesn't bother them as much. I mean, I can remember the outcry when PEA were uprooted from a Ute where they seemed to be making a home for themselves. And initially there was this huge burning of scarves and demonstrations. And then within a couple of days, probably, all that had been forgotten and they had a new club to support. So, yeah, there's an element of that, isn't there?
It's the traditional way of supporting in England, you know. And I get that, you know, it's embedded from generation to generation. Whereas in Thailand, a lot of these are first-generation supporters. Like I say, it's just like a bar shutting, really. They'll find somebody else to support.
It will be interesting to see how many clubs we do lose, because I fear the worst. I think, you know, a few are going to go under, and how that will affect relegation from the top flight, how it'll affect promotion from T3, and if we're going to just see a complete restructuring next season. But again, that's purely speculation, so we'll just have to wait and see.
There's one thing for sure, the teams in the semi-pro league northeast should be really aiming for a top three spot, because it's quite possible that a team is relegated anyway, and then the Cedar United and Marasarakam.
So, yeah, you're right. Opportunities open up for others, don't they? That's the way we've got to look at it, I think.
Look, as long as the players are paid to the end of the season, but the players know the hazards are coming to Thailand. If they don't, they're extremely naive. nobody wants anyone to lose wages, but, you know, if you're going to come here, that's part of the consequence, I'm afraid.
I had this conversation with somebody a few years ago, and he said, yeah, it's absolutely all part of it. You know, do your research before you sign anything. You know, we're talking about overseas players now, obviously. I mean, it's slightly different for the locals. But you're right, anybody who does come here to play needs to know what the situation is and be very aware of what could happen, and often does, sadly.
Hi, my name is Jamie and I'm listening to a Thai Football Podcast, a wonderful insight into the world of Thai football and the diversity of the fans that follow the wonderful game.
Away from football, you're going to be setting off on a sponsored walk, which you've advertised on Twitter, and you're raising money for a local school. Do you want to just fill us in and give us a few more details?
Sure. That basically, the local school's suffering from government cuts because it's got less than 100 pupils. The villagers are all clubbing together to keep paying the teachers so it can stay up. I'm going to walk to that championship game next week. I'm suffering one or two problems with the payment process at the moment, but hopefully that will be all sorted out and the details will be on the link.
That's great. Well, all the best with that, mate. And like you say, we will put the details on here. And good luck. It's a fantastic thing that you're doing. And I wish you all the best with that, Rob. Hope that goes well and you raise a lot of money.
I could be very sore when I do the podcast next week. 21 kilometres in this seat won't be easy.
Hi, my name's John and I'm listening to Thai Football Podcast, the Thinking Person's Thai Football Podcast.
And finally, we've just had an email from someone who wants help identifying some Thai football shirts. A friend of his has got in touch and said, somebody brought these shirts back from Thailand. He's no idea who the club is. There's absolutely no record of them on the internet. So we're going to put some photographs on our Twitter feed, on our Facebook page. I'll try and put one on the podcast page as well, if I can. And anybody who can help identifying these shirts, Francis, who's our correspondent, will be extremely grateful. So if you can help Francis, have a look at these images that we're going to put up. And if you know anything about the club, please just get in touch and solve a mystery for us. That'd be great. So anyway, that's about it for this week. So it's been fantastic having you back, Rob. Lots of lively discussion and debate there. And just want to say to everyone, enjoy the rest of Songkran. Stay safe, but have a great time.
And get yourself to some football next weekend.
ชื่นฉลองวันคืนจนคืนเพลงคลานดอกเอ๋ยมะเขือแม่ตัวหนึ่ง